Hey, now, so this is podcast 3.
I know, it took a while.
Yeah, late night drive-by with Al Porter.
And Colm Hayes.
Well, see, you don't have to tell people it takes a while because, as we've always said, these could be found in 40 years' time.
And you're obsessed with the idea of somebody finding these in 40 years' time. You really like the idea of legacy, which I don't get.
Why not?
Well, because I think when you're dead, you're dead. And not that you're going to die, Colm.
Yeah, thanks.
But when you're dead, you're dead. And why would you worry about whether people remember you?
Would you not like to think that you've left some sort of imprint on the world?
But
like,
I don't get to know that.
Yeah, I know.
As I've always said, the only problem with death is that it's like being asked to leave a party and you know it goes on without you. As opposed to an apocalypse or something like that.
When everyone has
where
to leave
everybody
the party.
Has to leave the party, so it's fine. You're not
that's
really worried about it. Yeah. So, like, legacy is just like being asked to leave a party and what? People enjoy the popcorn you left?
Well, I don't know. See, I have this thing, right? And I'd actually like to fake my own death.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
To see what people would say about me at the funeral.
A lot of people have that fantasy.
And I'm wondering, would Michael D. Higgins send an aide de camp?
Oh, Colm.
Well, some of
I know where you're going with this, and not in a rude way, but you saw the Tony Fenton thing.
Well, and the other big funerals, and Derek Davis and that. He sent an aide de camp to all of them guys.
Yeah, but you're not going to get one of them.
What would I get?
I think a Boy Scout leader. Best case scenario, they'll put a big giant clock in the shape of a strawberry on your coffin.
Right, is that it?
And they'll say, thank you, Colm.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And it'll happen in the morning, which will be, you know, poignant.
I'd say there'll be a guard of honour as well from all the staff of O'Brien's off-licence.
Have you written a last will?
No.
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 See, that's good. At the moment, my family are fighting over my great aunt's possessions.
Oh, right.
Because
okay,
she passed away early this year and they want the contents of the house, which I don't get.
Yeah.
Because when she's alive, right, that's her stuff.
Yeah.
So now that she's dead, it's not your stuff. It's just nobody's stuff. So give it to charity. I don't get why people want the contents of a dead person. It wasn't yours to begin with, so you don't need it.
I think maybe we should be buried with our stuff.
Or like the Egyptians.
Yeah, but so rather than graves, right, we have skips.
No, come on.
No, but nice.
You mean crypts.
Crypts, yeah, wooden crypts. you're buried there with all your stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And then people just call in and to look at it.
Oh, or maybe like, yeah, maybe you can have a crypt. Oh my God, Colm.
Yeah?
What if when you were buried, you're buried in these underground crypts, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Where all your stuff goes, but it's price tagged by an auctioneer or whatever. And, you know, for as long as it takes, your burial place is actually just a shop.
And where are you? Where's the dead guy?
Well, you're, you know, in the coffin in the corner where the till is. You're like the counter.
Okay.
And people come and
depending. So it's a see-through counter and you're lying there.
No, it's you're not like
it's
one
your
of
glass.
The you're not like one of the preserved popes or anything. Yeah. You're covered up.
Are you stuffed?
What?
Are you stuffed?
Oh, that's taking taxidermy a bit far.
Can't take taxidermy far enough. And so people come in and then go.
They go in and it's like a shop and he goes, oh, I'll have that. And they don't know you. They've no personal connection to you. But they go, oh, do you know what? I'll have the lamp or I'll have the cutlery.
So who gets the money?
And the money goes to, I don't know.
So is it a charity shop?
Yeah.
I suppose in a parallel universe that could work. We can't do it now. You have to do it thousands of years ago when we sort of started dealing with death, you know?
But it would have to be a charity shop because if it went to a business or anything, people might just start murdering people who had lots of contents and opening up like supermarkets.
Yeah. There could be chain stores as well.
Yeah.
It could be like, you know, the pound shop.
Yeah, it'd be kind of bleak, you know. Why do we bury people in general?
Yeah, it's sort of like...
Because you can't leave them out to rot.
Oh, no, but why don't we just... I don't know. It's a strange thing, isn't it?
Burial.
Yeah.
No, it seems like the right thing to do.
Why not dispose of them quicker?
But watching them being buried sounds mad.
It is. It's a bit, yeah. And then there's the other thing as well. Oh, no.
Do you want to be scattered?
Excuse me?
Like scatter your ashes or something?
Yeah. I think if my ashes were scattered in various places, I want them scattered in the back garden. I want them scattered on the beach. I want them scattered in Old Trafford. And I want some of them scattered in Mars.
Wasn't there a famous rock star who wanted his ashes to be snorted? Or he did snort somebody's ashes?
God.
Yeah, it was one of the Rolling Stones, I think.
Snorted ashes.
Yeah, of a very famous dead person. Yep.
And would you get high?
I don't think so. If anything, I think you'd get a bad cold or something.
Since last we spoke.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a noise. The gay referendum.
The gay referendum. That's brilliant. It wasn't a referendum about whether there should or shouldn't be gays.
Yeah. The gay referendum was passed.
Well, you're right. Some people did think it was about, you know, should there or shouldn't there be gays. Like, you'd hear people going, ah, this referendum. Like, do you know them gays are coming over and, like, they're taking our jobs. Yeah, and yeah. They're driving taxis and all now, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They got a free phone as well and a house there. But yeah, the gay referendum is through.
Yes, we passed marriage equality.
It's funny because people were talking about the actual thing about being a gay referendum or not, and that if it didn't go through and it was a no vote,
yes,
then there could be gay purges.
Oh, do you think? There would have been, like Kevin McGahan described, Gaymageddon.
Yes, yeah. I think there was going to be a night, a Saturday night, and people were going to go around and you had to throw out your gays.
I think there was an odd atmosphere in the debate because people like us and anybody, for the right reasons, weren't allowed to talk about it. But you had to watch these increasingly ridiculous debates where I think they call it a MacGuffin, you know, where these mad things that aren't really what the debate was about was being raised. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're like, it's about adoption or it's about tax relief or it's about, you know. And eventually, if they had it gone on any longer, I think we would have had commentators coming on for the no side and going, it's dirty, dirty, dirty. I hate it.
Have you lost yourself?
I have.
Oh, good man. Yeah, they could have. There was so many different things. I mean, gay couples were going to have babies that had five heads. Mother's Day was ruined.
It wasn't that mad idea.
Somebody came around and said, "Well, that's the end of Mother's Day now. There you go. That's the end of." And then Father's Day. We'll need three Father's Days a year.
Interestingly, in Tallaght, we had some of the highest votes for yes.
Yeah.
And I think it was women going, "Gays deserve to be single parents as well."
Yeah.
And just kids going, "Well, I didn't have a dad growing up, so two would have been brilliant," you know.
So, is there a gay divorce?
This is what I say. Yeah. There is gay divorce. Okay. But if you wanted to be homophobic, wouldn't you have said, oh yeah, give them marriage, but put in a loophole that there was no divorce?
Be great.
Just going, you've made your bed, now you're lying it. Yeah.
And will there be gay counselling weddings? You know, sorry, gay counselling.
Gay marriage counselling. Yeah. Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be called marriage counselling.
No, I like the idea of it all being segregated. So who'd be a gay marriage counsellor? Could that just be a marriage counsellor? Because I always found the funniest thing years ago was that a marriage counsellor was a priest.
Mm.
And you're sitting there, well, I wasn't.
Well, that'd be a gay marriage counsellor.
Yeah. So couples were sitting there going, we're having terrible troubles, Father. It's just the sex, you know, it's not working out.
And this celibate man has to give them advice.
Yeah, and he's going, the sex, what was going on? Well, I was doing, he wouldn't get down there good. Wouldn't get down where? Get down where? And the priests were getting off on it.
Do you think so?
Of course they were.
Oh, Colin.
Oh, couples were coming out in ribbons.
not the worst.
And you used to have to do a marriage counselling course before you got married.
You still have to do that.
Well, it's not obligatory, is it?
No. No, you do. You have to meet the priest a couple of times anyway. If you want to be married in a church.
I wasn't married in a church. But so you have to sit with a priest and he's to tell you. Like, what can he tell
you? How to live married life. It's mad.
Yeah, isn't it nuts? It's like, I don't know, it's like getting somebody who can't drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
To drive a bus to Electric Picnic with 40 people in it.
In what sense is that the same thing?
Because they don't know what they're doing.
Okay, all right, yeah. And it's quite funny how confused people in the country were over it. I went to Pride Day there a little while ago back, and a girl on the loo said, are you on your way into Pride? And I said, I am. Mm. And she goes, oh, it'll be brilliant now that you have the vote.
Like, it'll be better.
No, but now that we have the vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, as if we weren't able to vote before.
Oh, sorry.
She thought the referendum were to give gay people the right to vote, which I think is brilliant.
Oh, that's great, isn't
which,
it?
I mean, she must have been like, well, there'll be no more the likes of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil anymore now. It's all going to be the green and the pink parties.
And how would you have known? Like, when you went up to the polling booth, they go, now, you look a bit gay. Are you gay? Be honest now, because if you are gay, get out. It's like, oh, it's crazy. She honestly thought. There's another great thing I read as well. People are going, the gay pride festival, that's brilliant. We need a straight pride festival.
I know. It's mad, isn't it?
A straight pride festival. Like, what is that? That could be a water charge protest.
I saw a great analogy online, which was something like against anybody who says, why are there, you know, special days for black people, like a black pride, or why is there gay pride, or is there International Women's Day and all that? And where's the one for straight white males? And somebody said, it's like when you're playing Mario Kart. When you're in first place, you're not able to get any of the boosters that can help you go faster. You're already in first place. You're winning.
I know. They don't get it, do they?
I'd adopt.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah, would you?
Mm.
Okay.
Not unless I had enough money to really kind of be sure that I could provide a good life, but yeah.
God.
What?
That's very responsible.
Is that a bit heavy? Is that the heaviest thing I've ever said?
Because people I often hear people go, no, we're just not ready to bring somebody into the world yet. We just can't afford it. And then there's people down the road just popping them out left, right, and center. So it doesn't really matter.
Well,
you're not going to save the planet by waiting. You know, it's like this, I'll save the planet now and I'll wait because another mouth in this planet, you know, there's not enough food. And Mrs. O'Callaghan down the road, Miriam, is knocking them out of the park. You know what I mean?
Miriam just goes into the corner of the primetime studio sometimes and pops a few out like a litter. Miriam has a litter.
She does, yeah. So you're going to adopt?
No, not like tomorrow.
No. Well, there's paperwork. Just because you got the vote, you can't just go out there and choose kids on the street. We'll have that one over there. Sure, we got the vote.
I was thinking that if I did and I was in a relationship, I would love to get twins. And like, because I'm really competitive. So I would love to get twins and I'd raise one and they'd raise the other one.
They, your partner.
Yeah. And so then like I have my one.
Yeah.
And they have their one. And we just see who's does better in life.
Like in everything.
Yeah. And like I was picturing like, let's say he had the boy and I had the girl. Yeah. That like one day he's sick or something, my partner. And then, you know, Harry, let's say, little Harry comes over and goes to me, Daddy, help me with my homework. And I'd say, no, I'm not your father. I'm your distant mother. Now feck off. And then I pick up mine and be like, who's a good girl, Holly? Who's a good girl? I love you. Ooh.
What you're doing there is you are actually breathing two sociopaths. You are. They would end up psychopaths, serial killers.
I'm also talking to my daughter like she's a dog.
Yes, and you've given her my daughter's name.
Oh my God!
Everything about this is wrong.
Oh man, we have a weird relationship.
But you know what as well? Right, so what you've got, would it be with toilet training as well? So, Holly pooed and she got to the toilet, has little Robbie. Yeah.
Oh God.
No, I don't know. But mind you, there are quite a number of houses and families that sort of does happen.
The competitiveness.
Yes, where a mother, the first kid, the mother will take care of, right?
Yeah.
And will mollycoddle it. And that'll be, and father's pushed away almost.
Do you think?
Yeah. And then the child grows up and it's a terrible L mess. And then the next child that comes along, dad will go, okay, leave this one to me.
Yeah. So then you get this competition.
Yeah. So you do get sort of, and then the third kid comes along and
nobody gives a fuck.
They just go, hello.
And that's why third children are really loud and attention-seeky, like me.
So am I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm third kid as well.
Yeah.
And then the third kid then beats the shit out of him. So the fourth kid is bullied because the third kid is going, well, nobody got him.
Yeah.
And then the fifth kid.
Oh, Colin, now you're going back to the 80s now.
Fifth kid is always gay.
Nobody has a fifth kid anymore.
Miriam O'Callaghan.
Colin, you don't know if Miriam O'Callaghan's child is gay.
I didn't say that she was gay, sorry, but the fifth kid's generally gay.
Do you think? Is that a science? Is that because you read that one in five people is gay and you think it goes in order?
So it's always the fifth, are you? Well, that'd be interesting. Anyway, good luck with that. We were sitting out having a coffee yesterday.
Yes.
There's a little courtyard behind us here in the Ready Sun. And there was a stain on the window.
Mm.
And you said it looked like...
It was in the shape of Jesus.
Jesus. And it's funny then, because it got me thinking, why does Jesus appear in so much stuff?
I know. He doesn't like to appear in the obvious areas. He likes to appear in food, windows. He appears in damp quite often.
At one stage, every compilation album featured Wham. Jesus appears in almost everything as well. I don't know why I put that in.
Wham. No. You think every compilation features Wham?
Yeah.
And so that's like Jesus appearing everywhere.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if there's any sort of
causal connection.
Yeah. But Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is in Toast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can see Jesus. I mean, there's a shroud, obviously, that they were going on about. And clouds. I spotted them in clouds.
Yeah.
He's also in the knotted bits of some wood.
What? You're right. I see him there a lot.
Yeah.
What is it about Jesus that's made him like such a popular culture figure as opposed to the other prophets? Like, everybody's kind of latched onto the buzz that Jesus is a bit of crack. Like,
yeah,
you can have a laugh with Jesus. Is it because Christians are just kind of easy to, you know, walk over, and we just don't give out, we don't go, don't you be talking about our prophet like that? Or is it just because Jesus was more crack? Or do you know what I mean?
I think Jesus was more like Chris Martin.
Right.
And the other lads, the apostles, are the rest of the band.
Mm.
And we really don't know and don't really care about them. So Jesus was the front man. He was the lead singer.
No, but I mean, like, in other way, like, you've got Moses is a good enough reference, you know.
Yeah.
Abraham's a good reference. Muhammad's a good reference. Who else is there? Buddha. But nobody, it's always Jesus. Think about it, Family Guy, The Simpsons, Tommy Tiernan, always Jesus.
Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, it's his PR company. Obviously, they really got him out there. They pushed him out. If Jesus was around now, right?
Yeah.
He'd be on Mock the Week.
He'd be on Jimmy Fallon.
He'd be on Hey Ho, Let's Go.
Yeah.
He'd be regularly on The Late Late Show.
Do you think Jesus would be on Hey Ho, Let's Go?
I think so, yeah. I think he would, if he was around now. And he'd probably be on the cover of RSVP. They would have done Cribs with him.
Brilliant. Oh, my God, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cribs with Jesus.
Yeah.
Where he'd open the fridge and they go, oh, there's not much, just a loaf and a fish. And he'd go, oh, you've no idea.
Brilliant. And everything is just absolutely made of wood. And in the corner, Joseph was there going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And is that your dad? We're not, is it? That's kind of complicated. We're not
and they're
so
going,
sure.
You only have still water. And he pours it and he goes, look at it now. Now is it still water?
Yeah, oh, there you be. And there's a room at the back where there's just dead people. He's going, up, 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 he goes. It's something we do.
That's
know,
like any gaff party. There's always somebody dying in the corner.
God, Jesus, it's cribs. And Mary would be there as well.
Yeah. We used to have a friend in college who we called Lazarus.
Yeah.
Because he would just drink so much. He'd be in such an unimaginable stupor that he would be dead on the couch. There'd be no waking him. And then all of a sudden, just as the session was coming to an end, he'd wake up and be the life of the party.
Lazarus.
Yeah. And his name was Larry.
We had a guy, and it was when I was young, and he lived in the Ballymun flats, and his name was Jesus.
Was he Mexican?
I don't know. But no, they called him Jesus, and his mother called him Jesus.
And were they Irish?
Yeah, yeah, because this is the funny thing, right? And this is the God's honest truth.
Yeah.
So when she called him for dinner, Jesus, come in for dinner. Then she'd also use Jesus because he wasn't coming in. Oh, for Jesus' sake, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus, look what you've done. Jesus Christ. So there was two separated Jesuses in all our conversations.
I grew up in a council state. I kind of wish that I grew up in the flats, like, but I actually love the crack that people would have with their ma and stuff. Like, I mean, you remember in the flats, people shouting up, "Ma, will you throw down me ball?
Yeah,
will you throw down?" Or do you ever remember someone's mother shouting out at you, "Will you tell Tommy his dinner's ready?" Like, and you're going, "I don't know where he is," you know.
There was a guy, and his name was Tony, right?
Yeah.
And he was on the 7th floor, I think, of the 15-story thing. And
he lived on the seventh floor.
But they had a rope mechanism for everything.
No, yes, a pulley.
Yeah, yeah. But it was like just in a clothesline.
Yeah.
But that's the way he'd bring his bike down.
That is brilliant. And small children.
Yeah, probably. And when you saw it in the commitments, do you remember they opened the lift and there was a horse there in the lift?
Yes.
We saw some of that stuff going on.
That's
was there,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, isn't there a monastery in Tibet that's at the top of a mountain where they have to send down a huge basket to get you and the monks have to pull you up?
Yeah. Huge bastard.
Basket.
What do you want me to do?
The huge bastard.
Yeah. I don't know why Jesus is and everything. It's funny that, isn't it?
Would you have been a good monk? Why do you think you'd become a monk and not a priest?
Because what is a monk? What's the difference?
Well, the monk lives in a monastery.
Yeah.
It can be closed or open.
Okay.
They're celibate as well.
Yeah.
They have to do group prayer. They tidy the garden. They take different vows. Some of them take silence.
Can they give mass?
No. I mean, they shouldn't.
No.
I think they do on occasion when they're stuck. Like in Ireland now, we're so stuck for priests.
Yeah.
I think somebody was telling me one was ordained last year.
Right, yeah.
And
yeah.
He was the first in 5 years. So We are so stuck for priests, everybody's saying Mass now.
I think
at this stage, everybody, there are literally priests just going, look, I can't be there. Any chance of Margaret getting up and saying a few words?
I think we could license other people to say Mass, like people you would trust, like GAA referees.
Really? Yeah.
I think they would be good.
With a bit of responsibility.
Yeah. And when you have to kneel, there's a guy, the linesman there, and he puts up the green flag. And then the white flag goes, or maybe guards.
Maybe you should just start having guest priests. You know, like when they didn't
celebrity
have a presenter
priests.
For Have I Got News For You?
Yeah.
So you just get a celebrity in.
Celebrity priest.
Yeah. It's a celebrity priest. So, you know, one week Marty Morrissey would do it.
Yeah. Marty Morrissey do it every week.
In fact, yeah, Marty Morrissey should always do it.
And Marty Whelan.
Marty Whelan
could do it with Sinead.
Yeah.
It'll be like sort of the lottery thing and they spin a wheel for the next prayer.
Will we have a rosary?
Because they do need to, you know, jazz up Mass.
I think celebrity priest is a good idea.
It's a very good idea, yeah. And you should be allowed to bring food in.
What?
Well, people should be allowed to eat. I was always hungry when I went to Mass. Like, you should be able to bring in maybe a coffee and a burger.
Only unleavened things.
Really? Could you bring in sandwiches?
That's leavened, isn't it? What does leaven mean?
I don't know. What does it mean?
Not raised.
Like what?
Like raised flour. So it's unleavened. It's not raised flour.
No, I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it like a halal thing?
Ah, sure. I have no idea.
Yeah. And also, now this could, I don't know whether this would work out or not, but do you not think they should have communion in a range of flavours?
Column.
No, just like... The priest comes down. We've done everything else about Mass. We've got Marty Whelan on stage.
They have gluten-free Jesus.
Do they?
Yeah, you can get a bite of Jesus now that's gluten-free. If you're a celiac?
Yeah. But what if the priest came down and he had like a little tray sort of thing and there was flavours? So it was like you could raspberry flavour, strawberry flavour, banana flavour. No?
Do you think Mark McCabe should release a new single called I'm a Celiac?
Celiac
on the floor.
Yeah, could work.
I think he might as well give it a go.
Will we do Tommy now?
Yeah, okay. How are we getting on?
We're getting on good, I think.
Yeah, good.
22 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
La 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 la. Are you happy so far?
Yeah. I think it's funny. It's quite strange.
Yeah. I like the Jesus stuff. The religious stuff always works well.
I like the stuff about death at the top.
It's quite bleak.
Yeah, but it's interesting.
Yeah. So when people hear this, you will have appeared on Tommy Tiernan's chat show on the radio on 2FM.
That is one of the strange things about the timeline of this recording.
This could be 40 years' time.
Yeah. Oh, come on, please. Drop it.
2055.
Oh, Jesus. What age will you be?
In 40 years' time, I'll be 90.
90!
93. My God. Could you imagine as a 93-year-old man, right?
And what age will I be?
You'll be...
72.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the show?
Oh, Jesus.
Welcome to Drive-By. Hello, how are you today?
Colm Hayes is over there.
Al Porter is over. Where are you, Al? I can't see you. Are you over there?
Now, today, as always on a Friday, we're going to play Celebrity Blank. So today we're playing Celebrity Obituary. Send in your favourite celebrity obituaries.
Do you think Beyonce should still be in that bikini? She looks awful, doesn't she?
She's terrible, but in fairness now...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where that's going.
Okay.
Do you?
Well, I just come out to empty me bag.
Your colostomy bag.
I sounded like Colm. That voice.
Strange thing about our recording of this podcast today is that it is the day that I am to appear as the first guest on Tommy Tiernan's first ever chat show, which is for a radio broadcast. The idea of it is that he doesn't know who the guests are.
Yeah.
So as I'm telling you this, I'm not actually telling you because you're going to hear it after the fact.
Yeah, but people can't hear this now anyway.
So it's kind of bold what we're doing. Like if somebody's outside the door there now, we're really in trouble.
Oh, you think they'd run all the way down to the Sugar Club and go, it's Al Porter! And that's ruined it.
I was kind of the worst person to choose to be on a show where you're not supposed to know who's on. Because ever since I found out, I've been telling taxi drivers.
I'm
going to be on the Tommy Tiernan show in a couple of weeks. Oh God, don't tell him. Do you know Tommy? Don't tell him.
But it's a strange premise, right? Now, he'll know you.
Yeah. Willie, though, I mean, this is the thing, is Tommy might know me, but not everybody in the country knows me. So I'm wondering, now it just makes it a show where Tommy doesn't know who the guest is, but also neither does the audience.
But how is he... Say somebody actually does come down the stairs and sits beside... Do you know what could be funny, actually?
Yeah.
Actually, what could be very funny is somebody could go in there, go in backstage, right? Mm. Tie up the guest.
Tie them up.
Tie them up, right?
And then walk
and
on.
And then walk on.
As themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tommy has to go, oh, hello, you must be Peter.
No.
Yeah.
I'm Rory.
Right. Rory from RT Radio 1, is it?
No, I'm Rory from the buses.
Right. Well, that must have been the referendum buses that you were driving to the referendum. Is that why you're on the chat show?
No. I drive the bus to Cork, bus errand.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, Tommy wouldn't know what to do.
But how do you interview somebody
that you don't know?
That you don't know.
I suppose that's the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have a chat. I mean, do you have to interview? Does anybody interview people anymore, or do they just have a lively conversation?
Well, I mean, say you're completely random, and I'm interviewing you, and okay. I mean, obviously you're going to tell me your name.
Yeah. Right.
Will Tommy then say, what do you do? Or does he have to work it out?
God, that's embarrassing. Like a guessing game, like guess who?
Yeah.
Like he's to go, do you work in groups?
No.
Do you work with the public?
No.
Are you a grave digger?
Yes, I am!
Then he gets to go on with the interview.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So when's the last person you put in the grave?
Yeah. Do you know what's mad? We could be complete laughing stocks here because we're recording this kind of going, Jesus, how's he going to pull it off? But in fairness, by the time this goes out, it could be the biggest success Ortiz ever had. Sold to the BBC, sold to NBC, sold to CBC. What's CBC? What's NBC?
CBC is Christian Broadcasting, or Columbia Broadcasting.
Oh, Columbia, yeah. that's what I was thinking, not Christian Broadcasting.
So what are you going to say tomorrow? Are you going to do your Tommy Queernan thing?
I don't know if I will.
Yeah.
This is my joke where I talk about how people have always called me Tommy Queernan, so I would love to do my material as Tommy Queernan and just kind of go, I know, you might be wondering, am I gay? Am I not gay? And all this. And I always thought that it would be funny to hear Tommy talk about quite camp subjects in his evangelical style.
Yes.
You know, for him to be saying stuff like, Lady Gaga isn't a patch on Katy Perry. I don't know if he'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd say he might.
Mm.
Well, if he's stuck.
Tommy Tiernan would get a good funeral. Michael D. Higgins would send somebody down.
Oh, great. Great, thanks. Like, I got nobody. Who would you like?
You got a giant strawberry clock.
You'll get Miss Panty. You will. That's. But at least I'd take Miss Panty.
Would you? No. You'd take Miss Panty right now.
No,
yeah.
No. If all I'm getting is a giant strawberry clock and the head of the Boy Scouts, you know, I want...
Why is the head of the Boy Scouts there?
Well, I'm just thinking it's a guy in a uniform, but they're not going to send the aide-de-camp.
Oh, okay.
So they ring up the Boy Scouts going, you wouldn't pop down. It's Colm's funeral.
I'd like the gay flag draped over my coffin. Has anybody ever done that?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure they will. Yeah. But I do see, I have this thing. I do see this.
I just had an idea for a sitcom. I have an idea for a sitcom.
What is it?
I don't really know. But no, it's a movie.
Oh, God.
It's called Garden.
Why was the first 5 series so successful that it's got to a movie now? Brilliant.
It's a movie called Guard of Honor.
Right.
And it's about these guys who infiltrate funerals.
Like Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. But they infiltrate funerals and pretend that they're in the Guard of Honor.
Right.
So that they can get close to the wives of politicians who are lonely so that they can have sex with them and then blackmail them.
Right. Okay.
I don't know if it's a goer, but I'm going to pitch it to Vince Vaughn anyway.
Yeah. Wasn't that the Woody Allen thing? He always said that he always went to funerals in New York because firstly, you found the hottest women and they were always at their most vulnerable because they were always wearing the black little number. And secondly, if you didn't get off of them, you found out what apartment was free.
Yes. Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. God, Woody's a bit bleak.
No, I was just thinking I would have a guard of honour from O'Brien's because the reason is...
You buy so much wine.
I'm on their sis, yeah, and I get little messages from them. I get messages from my off licence, right? I never realised I signed up for this, okay? So every now and then, and you're out, and I go, boop, 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 boop. and I'm looking and somebody's going, is that an important message? And I'm going, O'Brien's this week, 25% off all Prosecco.
You have a problem.
I know, no. So this is what happened, right?
No, there's a Prosecco shortage. I know that there's gay marriage, there's a Prosecco drought. Yeah, but anyway.
So I text them back, right? Mm. And this is an automatic service.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
text them back saying, please take me off your list.
Right.
I don't want to get messages anymore. And I got a text back. Don't be stupid, Colin.
So obviously, whoever is doing it knows your number.
Yes.
Because it wouldn't be a huge automated service. I get messages from Peter Mark. And I don't remember ever getting my hair cut in Peter Mark. And he keeps telling me that I'll get a rinse and blow dry for 25 quid or something.
How do they do it? I get a message. I get messages all the time from a GAA club, right?
Do you?
Yeah, Kilmacud. Now, the thing is, I used to be involved in them years and years ago, but I'm not anymore. But at least once a week, because it's such a huge club, somebody within the club has died.
I don't get it.
And I keep getting messages about people who've died from Kilmacud. It's quite bizarre and weird. And it's like the son of the daughter of the cousin of Eddie, who was the champion in 1978, passed away suddenly.
So come down for Chris sandwiches and a piss up.
Yeah, so then they tell me where to go and everything. Yeah. So
I only associate GAA clubs with radio. Because they'd have a radio playing.
Yeah.
And radio, mahogany, red lemonade and crisp sandwiches.
Why mahogany?
Because they're always mahogany.
Like in the clubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was involved for a long time, actually. Don't know where's that going.
That's going nowhere.
That's going nowhere.
But still.
That's
at least we said it.
The bit there is good. The bit the bad, the bit the bad, the bit the bad.
How are we getting on?
Ah, it's 12.
Well, we'll keep going, but I think we're getting some good stuff here.
Oh, there's
we've got an episode here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is there anything we want to finish on?
I think it's good when we bring up stuff that we don't expect. Or...
Okay. Mm. As we sit here again.
Yeah.
This weekend, there's another big referendum.
What's gone?
Greece.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. Greece is voting yes or no for Mamma Mia. I think it's quite bizarre, actually, that Greece has gone through a referendum and Mamma Mia is playing in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre.
Do you?
I think there's an irony there. I'm not sure what it is. It's like, we got out of this, guys, so let's put on a big L Greek musical and those guys are in. And
it's kind of like they're showing off.
Yeah. Yes, it is a bit of that. And now, Greek is to vote for austerity, yes or no, at the weekend. It'd be funny that some people will actually go out and vote yes for austerity.
Now, if they vote yes... They vote yes for austerity and that bailout package, right?
Yeah.
And if they vote no, they've already renegotiated another bailout package.
Yeah, there's a lot
so
going
it's
on.
Yes for bailout or no for bailout.
Yeah. So the Greeks, I'm not saying they're lazy, okay? But a friend of mine has a freight company.
Yeah.
And he said, you only do business with the Greeks in the morning.
Oh, the rest of the day they're locked, are they?
They're gone.
No.
Yeah, they're locked.
No,
yeah.
they're not. No, that's very racist.
No, it's not racist. It's a comment. It's not a racist comment. I'm not inciting hatred towards
the
Greeks.
No, I know.
They just seem to maybe wander off in the afternoons.
they go off and do homosexuality, don't they? And then they come home.
They do, yeah.
They go off for a bit of homosexuality and then come back.
And there's a picture in the papers this weekend and their main street right in Athens,
they've got a main street?
Yeah, like Grafton Street, okay?
I would have always thought now, that's funny, that Athens was more sprawling and windy, that you wouldn't have a main street.
Oh, well, everywhere has a main street.
What, just the street that people trod the most?
Well, it's the street that, it's the first street that was built. That's always the main street, isn't it?
No.
Is it not?
No.
Well, this is.
Okay.
I always imagine the main street is, this is where they start. You know, somebody opens a pub and a church.
Yeah.
And then everything just spreads from there in Ireland, you know.
Do you know the way the Romans built all the roads? Now, how did the Greeks get on with the roads? All right.
I don't think they were great with them.
Yeah, okay. They're just too busy with the homosexuality and the philosophy.
Are they still big into the homosexuality?
No. Well, on mopeds only.
They were nuts for it, weren't they, in the old days?
Oh, yeah, they loved it.
The ancient Greeks. Yeah. Ah, Jesus. They couldn't get enough of it, could they? But anyway, so this is the main street, right?
Yeah.
In the main thoroughfare in Athens. And they were shown pictures of it. Compared to, let's say, 5 years ago. And everywhere is closed down.
Mm.
And it's all this just random sort of graffiti.
Really?
And yeah, and all the shutters are down and it's sort of crumbling, right?
God.
And I'm thinking to myself, in about 500 years' time, right, that will be ancient Greece.
Oh, no way.
So ancient, so people...
That's a good thought,
buses will be coming in, they'll be going, this used to be the main street where Zara was over there and H&M was over there and now it's just a crumbling wreck and there was a huge civilization and there was gay men
I don't think they're going to let it go to ruins. I mean, I don't think modern Greece is allowed to go to ruins.
Hang on a second, look what they did to the Acropolis.
What about the Acropolis?
They let that fall apart.
No, but Europe...
That was the last time.
Europe isn't going to let Greece fall apart. Not in modern society.
Well, who let that fall apart?
Yeah, the modern society of the time.
Yeah, moved off to the next place saying, "This, what happened with the Acropolis, and this is true,
yeah,
because it was falling apart and all the philosophers and everything, they didn't want to get their hands dirty, right, and fix it. Yeah. They got builders in. And the builders said, this is going to take so much expense. This is really, we'd be better off going down the end of the hill and building something smaller because the land's a lot cheaper down there.
Yeah.
So they went down the end of the hill and they built Athens.
Wow.
Yeah, and they left it up there. And everyone was going, Jesus,
we should do something with that.
Yeah, yeah. But
what like when you're in your house and you're looking at the back room going, I should really do that up, but like the effort. I just like living in the front room.
A thousand years ago, they needed somebody like Dermot Bannon.
Yes, you're right.
And he could have gone in his frilly little outfit because they all wore a lot of frilly stuff.
To be honest, I think all that Dermot does, though, is go into a house, find a wall that he'd like to turn into glass doors that pull all the way back and leave.
Yeah, yeah. And always bring light in.
That's his thing.
I know. It's just light. It's always light.
He hates walls. He likes windows.
Yeah, knock them out, bring everything in. But they could have done that with the Acropolis.
Put in some windows.
Well, yeah, so where the walls had fallen down because they had the columns.
I don't think they had windows back then.
What do you mean they didn't have windows? What did they look out and wave?
You're right.
Do you think windows are an invention of the 60s?
I actually just realised that. They probably did have windows, yeah.
So for thousands of years, somebody was going, oh, let some air in. I would just open the door. What if we had just a gap in the wall? And what if we put something like...
No, they didn't have glass. Now you're lying
and
there.
And they're going, oh, the wind, the window. Oh, the window.
They didn't have glass.
Well, they did have
glass. They didn't have
glass. So what did they put over?
Nothing.
Well, then people are just coming into the house all the time.
No, I'm actually curious. No, they didn't have glass.
Okay, so...
You're telling me. In ancient Greece, they had windows with glass. That's not true.
So what do they have across the windows?
They didn't have glass.
Hang on.
They had shutters.
Okay. So when do you think somebody first put in a bit of
glass? No. Think now. Don't be a gobshite.
Hang on. You had to think about it.
No. You think now. Come on, think, honestly. Ancient Greece, windows. Did they have glass? You know they didn't. They had shutters.
So who brought... Where did glass come from then?
Eventually.
Could you imagine the first house?
So who made glass?
There's ancient...
It's glass natural.
Yeah, it grows on trees. It grows in glass houses.
Do you have to make glass?
Of course you have to make glass.
With what? Fire?
Sand. Glass
Fire
is made
and
from sand.
Sand,
yeah. So it's like...
So one day somebody in a really hot country, it got really hot. And a bit of sand that was caught over their shutters turned into a lovely, transparent sheet of hard material. And they thought, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And they repeated, God, that's mad. Type in there. Have you got the internet?
I have the internet, yeah.
Right. Who invented glass?
Who invented glass? Okay. We'll finish this now.
We'll edit here.
Ah.
I've got a bit of a headache from all this. This is mad. Why don't we do this stuff on air?
Who invented glass? Very funny. Because it takes so long to get here, doesn't it?
I know.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. If you had an evening show on Radio 1, like Jonathan Ross and Russell Brand had at one stage, you could do this sort of stuff. Okay.
Just might be funny to find out.
Yeah.
Give a bit of closure.
Who invented glass?
Let me know when you've got an option.
Who invented glass windows? Oh-dee-do.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So type in there, who invented glass, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
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 Aha.
Okay.
In England.
England.
Glass became common in the windows of ordinary homes only in the early 17th century.
That is not that long ago.
You
thought they had it in ancient Greece.
Whereas windows, oh, you're going to love this one. Windows made up of panes of flattened animal horn.
Flattened animal horn.
Were used as early as the 14th century.
Still not ancient Greece, Colin. Still 1,000 years too late.
Who decided to flatten an animal horn and stick it up in a window? Isn't that mad?
So they finally, they only invented glass in the 1600s.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. So apparently, wow, I'm just looking here, is there a history of it? Okay. The Romans were first known to use glass for windows.
Right.
A technology like first produced in Roman Egypt. Paper windows.
Paper.
Were also used in China, Korea and Japan.
Okay.
And then you had the animal horns in the 14th century. Wow.
Something you don't really think about, do you?
The earliest windows.
Yeah.
Were just holes in a wall. Why did Wikipedia need to tell me that?
I think we realised that.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That is great.
There you go. So, and windows, it's you have to blow the glass through bits and pieces, and it comes from all the sort of sand and that.
Well, they are now, I mean...
What about the person, right? The first person in the village to have a window. And everyone's going, look at her.
Oh, who does she think she is?
She's got a glass window.
Well, how very fancy.
Oh, well, I think I'll get one of those. You can take the flattened horn of the animal off the window there.
Oh, Risha thinks she's great with paper, but she has glass. Yeah. Mm. Do you think the first spectacles were just frames with no lenses?
Cut out of people's windows.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah. So anyway, if this is in 40 years' time, Greece, I hope it's thumbs up.
Yeah, fair play to you, Greece.
Yeah, give it loads.
Mamma mia.
Okay, Al, thank you.
Love it.
That is another Late Night Drive-By featuring Al Porter.
And Colm
Hayes. Please come to my funeral.